Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 4th, 2013. Saints, the world is in turmoil, and most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. And I would ask that you say your phone number very slowly. And if you don't get me, you can always even try emailing me. But if you call the phone and you don't get, you get an answer, you get the machine, say your phone number real slowly. Say your message real slowly. But if that doesn't work also, I will give up all my privacy and give you my cell phone number for an emergency. It is 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. And folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, at our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. You can find most everything there. And if you can't, if you're one of those folks, like my friend I ran into here a while back, he's the same age as I am. Actually, he's a couple years older than me, and we're still young. But anyway, he still to this day doesn't own a cell phone, use a computer, or any of that, those things. So, folks, if you're listening on radio tonight and you need a question answered or information, feel free to call me. Otherwise, you folks can go to prophecyhour.com. You can find ways to download things to your iPad, iTunes, cell phones, and all that. Okay, now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, and not necessarily our guest's will, but again, your will. And please give everyone, including me out there, ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your Son's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, our guest tonight was on a few weeks back. His name is Chris Putnam. Chris earned an MA in theological studies from the Liberty University, in addition to his BS with honors in religion and mathematics. Along with specialized university courses, he worked in the books of Daniel and Revelation. Chris has studied Hebrew eschatology and biblical prophecy at the Kahuna, I guess that's how you pronounce it, Institute, as well as in his involvement with other book projects. He's written extensively in the area of Christian apologetics. Chris teaches the Bible at his local church and performs as a guitarist and maintains the www.logosapologia.org website. We'll spell that out after a while. And the last time he was on with us, he talked about his previous book with Tom Horn called Petrus Romanus. And tonight he is going to speak about his current book with Tom Horn, called Exo-Vaticana, I guess that's how it's pronounced. Anyway, normally, folks, I read all the books before my programs, but I just have been so tied up the last 2 weeks since this book's been out, I just haven't had time to get it together and do it. So we'll all learn together tonight. Welcome, Chris. Are you still with me? Are you there?
Hey, Pastor Dan, it's good to be back with you.
Yeah, amen. The last time was a blessing, and we're still people are still picking up that program from the archives and listening to it. And now, I mean, you know, call it coincidence or what, now what, 2 weeks later, and you've got another book out?
Yeah, well, you know, the Petrus Romanus actually came out last April of 2012, so it was actually over a year old now, so...
Oh.
They're not quite that back to back.
Well, for me it was. I noticed the book, but you know, I did not notice that you were actually looking to do interviews until, you know, recently, and so that's how I found you. And so to me it was close. I haven't got a chance to get the books out of, from the mail and read them. I'm going to read both of them, but you know, I'm at a loss. They both sound very interesting, but I'm particularly interested in this one that you're going to talk about tonight. So I guess the first question would be, what's the very generalities of this new book?
Well, the book Exo Vaticana, it's actually the title, the prefix exo, it typically means something outside of, external, and so... We really kind of borrowed that from the sort of terminology that the naturalistic scientists are now using, what they call exoplanets, even exobiology, and what they're talking about are planets that are outside of our solar system. And when they say exobiology, that's actually a division of what they call astrobiology, meaning the study of life in space. Now, technically, they don't really have anything to study, as far as I'm aware, but they think that they might, and you can actually get a degree at the university in a subject where you really don't have anything to study, but there's also a lot of speculation going on. So, Exo Vaticana, what is that all about? Well, our first book, Petrus Romanus, was really about this idea that the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, and this next pope, the pope we have right now, Pope Francis, actually does seem to fulfill this 900-year-old Catholic prophecy predicting the final pope would usher in the end times, that he would be, we theorize that he's the false prophet in biblical,
right,
in biblical prophecy that kind of leads the world to accept the Antichrist in an apostate religious system. Now,
right,
you know, right off the bat, that kind of begs the question, how the world, you know, the world really doesn't take the Pope that seriously. It's kind of hard to imagine why the world would fall in line, you know, with the Pope or even with an Antichrist, for that matter. It's hard to unite the world under any kind of banner these days. There's a lot of division and, you know.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You
know, well, Ronald Reagan might have a solution for us. And when he spoke to the United Nations General Assembly back in 1987, you know, he said, perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize our common bond. And I think occasionally how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. So, you know, Reagan was kind of fond of making that analogy. You know, he seemed to be implying, you know, that he thought that could actually happen. Well, you know, it's interesting, in our research into the Vatican and the papacy and the Jesuit order, for our first book, you just can't help but come across all these articles and all this literature produced by the Catholic Church concerning extraterrestrials and exobiology in these subjects. The Vatican maintains a couple of observatories. Now, the main one that they have is in Arizona. It's on Mount Graham in Arizona in the United States. And Tom Horn and myself actually set up the deal through the University of Arizona to get a tour of that facility. So we launched an investigation into the subject because a lot of people, you know, were asking us, what do you think about this Vatican ET thing? Because, I mean, you know, if you doubt that, you know, we had a reason to look into this. I suggest just type in extraterrestrial and baptize into your search engine on the Internet and see what pops up. You'll get hundreds of hits from, you know, there are articles by various Jesuit astronomers claiming that, you know, they want to baptize extraterrestrials. Now, you can't make this kind of stuff up. The internet pleats with years of statements and articles by these astronomers. Now, these guys are from what they call the Vatican Observatory Research Group. That's the VORG. And I kind of had some fun with that name because it sounds so much like the... Yeah, it sounds like the VORG.
You will be assimilated. Yeah.
Right, right. So, yeah.
Yeah, I immediately went to the VORG, you know.
Yeah, me too. And some of their behavior is remarkably similar, so it's kind of an apt analogy. But, so we went to Scott Graham. And, you know, we got access to the facility, and up there, they really have one of the most powerful telescopes in the world. Is that what's called the Large Binocular Telescope, and then there's another one called the Vatican Advanced Technology Telescope, and then there's a radio telescope, one of those big dishes called the Submillimeter Telescope. Now, you know, one of the more sensational things is there's actually an infrared device mounted on the Large Binocular Telescope that has, it's named after an acronym that literally is called Lucifer. Now, really? Like I said, you just can't make this kind of stuff up, but they really did name this instrument Lucifer. And, you know, I don't, you know, what that is, it's an acronym, it's a kind of a strained sort of thing. It's the infrared camera that they use to look for exoplanets, to do spectroscopy. And what that means is they look at infrared in a longer wavelength of light, and so it can see things that you really can't see in the normal spectrum. And they use it to sort of figure out what sort of chemical elements are on a planet. And they can see things that you just can't see, right. Which makes a really interesting device. But literally, there is a device called Lucifer up on top of this telescope.
Well, that's pretty amazing. That's really pretty amazing. I mean, you know, to use that kind of a name for such a thing, when they fully know, that, or they ought to know, come on, that is going to start people thinking conspiracy immediately.
It is awfully strange. Now, the Jesuit order will say that they didn't have anything to do with naming it. And I think they might be right about that. It seems to me that what you have on Mount Graham, that telescope, the Large Binocular Telescope is like a $33 million piece of hardware. So it's a consortium of astronomers at various universities, the University of Arizona, Notre Dame, several United States universities, but then a lot of Italian universities, and the Max Planck Institute in Germany. Now, they are the major players of the Large Binocular Telescope, and they seem to get the biggest part of the credit for naming that device Lucifer. So, you know, we immediately kind of thought maybe they were just messing with the Jesuits by naming it that.
Right.
You know, it kind of, you know, taking a stab at them or something. But now it actually turns out that there's a German politician. Now, his name in German is literally the German word for devil, his last name. And he's actually was instrumental in getting the funding for this the Max Planck Institute to put into this instrument. So they literally named it Lucifer in honor of him because his name means devil, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, it's truly kind of strange. It's getting stranger by the moment.
No matter how they spin it, they did name it after the devil. Whether it's, you know, this politician or you know, the Lucifer verse in Isaiah chapter 14 that most scholars think probably does connect to the fall of Satan in, like, Isaiah 14, like, I think, what, verse 11 and 12, somewhere right in there. How Lucifer is, I think it's that,
you got it right. Folks, that is really pretty funny. You know, well, we did name it after the devil, but the devil just happens to be a man in this case. But anyway, go on. No mean to interrupt.
So, what are they doing up there? Well, a large part of their mission on Mount Graham is the search for exoplanets. Now, what an exoplanet is, it's like I said, it's a planet outside of our solar system. And Now, as of 1996, we found the very first one. So literally, you know, 1996, we didn't know there were any planets outside of our solar system. We never found one. And then they found the first one in 1996. Now, today, due to the Kepler space satellite, they claim to have found over 600 exoplanets. Now, out of that 600, there's a short list of about 12 or so that they say are in what they call the habitable zone or the Goldilocks zone. Now, all that means is that the planet is within a certain distance from its star. It's kind of an Earth-comparable distance. And really all that means is they speculate that it can hold liquid water. And, of course, you know, the worldview that these sorts of scientists have, they believe, you know, basically if you have water in the right temperature, life will just evolve out of nothing. And, you know, which, of course, I think is nonsense. You know, I believe that life is a miracle. It's really only explained by God. You can hit, you know, lightning can strike a mud puddle all day, and I don't think anything's going to come alive.
Nothing but a hot mud puddle, man. I don't know. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. The Father created the heavens and the earth and everything living that's in either.
I agree. You know, but the thing that's weird is that these Jesuit astronomers, these Lord guys, you know, they're supposed to believe the Bible. I mean, they're, you know, you would think, being Jesuits, which is supposed to be the society of Jesus, but, I mean, they absolutely have written off the creation account in Genesis as pretty much mythology. And so they really follow the same line of Darwinism and the same line of naturalistic reasoning. That, you know, the same sorts of things that you hear coming out of the atheists. They're very critical of creationism. They say that, you know, creationism is not even possible. I mean, and they're very critical of intelligent design. They don't place any room for that. And so they really just follow the same Darwinism that you hear coming from the atheists. So it's really kind of astounding that we have these Catholic astronomers that, you know, are supposed to, you know, be part of this big church, but really what they're, the kind of stuff that they say about intelligent design and creationism is the same sort of criticism I hear coming from the atheist community. And I do spend some time in the book addressing that and exposing, you know, the inconsistency in someone who's supposedly, you know, a priest, yet at the same time out of his mouth is denying creation.
Well, you know, even in the book of it talks about in the book of Revelation that, you know, an angel will fly through the air and you know, point, say, worship the Creator, you know. And,
right.
And if you take away the creation, then, I mean, that just takes away, then forget about it. I mean, you can't take away the creation and still say you believe in the Bible and still believe in everything else. You just can't do it, not in my opinion. Well,
I agree wholeheartedly. Once you've undermined divine creation and, you know, really the special status of man as God's creation, you know, the image of God is what makes man, you know, exceptional from the animals. But, you know, Darwinism would have human beings just be an evolved primate. We're just a, you know, a smart monkey, basically. And so once you advocate this well-book view, you've really undermined Christian theology in a fundamental way, and it's very destructive. Now, so you take that sort of, those sort of presuppositions that these Jesuits have, you know, so they've signed on to the whole project of astrobiology. Now, astrobiology is basically the combination of astronomy and biology, so they're looking for life in space. Now, you know, when you do that, I think that our principle is that they have opened themselves up wide to what we believe is a key component of the great deception predicted in biblical prophecy. Paul talked about a strong delusion that would lead the world to believe the lie in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Jesus said, you know, that the deception would become so great, you know, that if it were possible, even the elect, even the church would be deceived. And, you know, I think about the sorts of things that we see coming out of our culture. You know, there's people believe in supernatural things, but there's a lot more people that believe in science. So if you think about some kind of lie that's going to deceive the whole world and get even, you know, the atheists and the secularists and the occultist and get everybody under the same banner, you know, under one system, I think it's going to be clothed in the credibility of science. It's going to have some kind of scientific appeal to it. And you look at the way our culture has been, you know, propagandized and really prepared mentally, really since the late 1940s. Probably, you know, around the end of World War II, there's been this constant influx of flying saucer stories and mythology and UFO sightings and then, you know, contactees and then the abductees. There's been this tale, you know, it's kind of flown under the radar of the intelligentsia. You know, the people in the universities think you're crazy if you try to talk about it, so they don't really analyze it. Yet on the popular level, a lot of people believe it. So it's had a really profound influence on our culture without ever really being scrutinized too hard, you know, by the smart people, because they just kind of brush it off as you're crazy. Yet at the same time, if you look at the polls, but just some of the kind of polls that they've done in the last, you know, 5 years or so, about 50% of Americans believe that there are people living on other planets, some kind of aliens. So it's like half the population in America believes this, that there are ETs. Now, just a little lower than that, I think it's like maybe 45%, 46%, something like that, believe they've already visited here in UFOs. So, you know, without even landing on the White House lawn, this phenomenon has already gotten nearly half of the American population to believe in aliens.
Right.
Okay. And that's pretty good, considering it didn't
that's extraordinary. We, like you say, we've been set up by technology, by all the TV things, all the new media, and, you know, things coming out, all, and the crossing. You know, they're teaching us, you know, things like werewolves are okay, vampires are okay, you know, well, aliens are okay, you know what I'm saying? And these things are being pushed forward at such a dramatic rate. Well, Chris, we're going to go to a break in about 50 seconds or less, and I want you to tell us where we can find this new book at. And tell us where your website's at if that's not the same place. But I do want your website also.
Sure. Well, the easy thing to do is the book is EXO Vaticana. So Vatican, VATICANA. ExoVaticana.com. That's the publisher's site that he set up. Or Tom Horn's main news site, RaidersNewsUpdate.com. And the book is also at bookstores like Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and Books A Million. But ExoVaticana.com will give you a video and a lot of information about the book as well.
All right. But, folks, I also want you to check out your website, which is what?
My personal website, where I have posted on this book and other subjects on Christian theology and eschatology and apologetics, is logosapologia.org. That's logosapologia.org.
Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes, folks.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and we are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas. Folks, please remember tonight to pray about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Of course, folks say that the homeless are poor, but we're talking about also the poor from all across the city that come to us looking for help, looking for food, clothing, all kinds of things. So many people want to go overseas to bring people to the Lord, Yeshua. Well, that's great, and that's okay. But, folks, there are people right here that are your neighbors that need your help, not only in my city but yours. Men, women, and children crying for the help, wondering why good Christians do not come to their aid. I know this because I minister to these people, and they say such. They say, Pastor Dan, why is it the Christian church isn't coming out here and helping us as commanded by our Father? We need your help as the mission church is open only due to your listeners. As we minister to the poor, they can't support and do what they can. You understand? We need your help. We're trying to, and also we're trying to get the woman's overflow open as soon as possible. Right now, I know as a fact there's at least 20 women out there that need to get inside, and we can all give them a roof if we get the door open. We need your help, of course. Someone asked, does the bus still need repairs? Yes, the answer for that is, yes, it still needs repairs, but daylight savings kind of saved me because we don't have taillights, but it gets dark later. And they said, well, the heater. Well, yeah, the heater's still broken, but now it's warmer out. So, yeah, we still need help with the bus. So many people ask us, well, why do they come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer, of course. People are treated as family. And the second and beyond that is that we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. When we help people if we have the way to fill that need. If we don't have a way to do it, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell all their employees about the Potter's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the last hope for so many. And folks, we are all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keeper. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. So you can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com, or you can call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to. And at prophecyhour.com, you'll find links for all kinds of things, radio programs. You'll also find a link to our Wichita Homeless website, which is wichitahomeless.com, if you want to check out that. Anyway, enough of my talking. Let's now bring on Chris Putnam, and he's talking about his new book. Are you still there with me, Chris?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Very good. Anyway, now we just started talking about it, how easy it would be to deceive the other half of the people if something landed on the White House lawn or maybe the lawn of the Vatican. Or does the Vatican even have a lawn?
I think they do have even gardens or something there. Now, that's interesting that you brought that up. You know, you probably heard about the Fatima sighting, right? In 1917, the famous third secret of Fatima and all that. Well,
yeah.
You know, what's really interesting to me about that thing is that, you know, you read the accounts, they say that like around 70,000 people witnessed this thing they call the Miracle of the Sun, which happened on October 13th of 1917. Now, what they describe seeing obviously was not the sun. You know, they say they saw a gray disc twirling and dancing in the sky, and, you know, like a cascade of rainbow colors came out. Now, you know, supposedly, they say this is the sun dancing in the sky, but, I mean, obviously it wasn't, because you think about it, no one saw it outside of this field in Fatima, Portugal. You know, if it was the sun, the whole world would have been aware of it. In fact, you know, because we live in a solar system, if the sun had actually danced in the sky, the Earth probably would have been destroyed from the gravitational forces. So, you know, it's obviously not the sun, but something was spinning around in the sky that looked like a ball or a disc. And,
really?
You know, in 1917, they didn't really have any vocabulary like flying saucer or UFO, but, I mean, I think that's exactly what it was. It really sounds like it. We had a mass UFO sighting. And that's really what they're associating with these prophecies. Now, the prophecies, no one heard these except three children, age
right.
7 to 10. Ages 7 to 10. Why does this thing always channel messages through impressionable young children? Now, you know, Catholics might say, well, they're innocent. But they're also very impressionable and gullible. You know, they don't really have critical thinking skills. You know, you tell something to a little kid, you know, between ages 7 and 10, and they'll buy into it. Especially, you know, saying that it's the Virgin Mary or whatever. Now, if you look at some of the theological content of what these children reported, the first thing that happened was this entity told them that they needed to make sacrifices for the sins of their people. So literally, they told the children to hurt themselves. You know, they would like be, you know, castigating themselves as a way to work off the sins of other people. Now, that's not consistent with the New Testament message where Jesus died for our sins. You know, we don't have to beat ourselves and for the sins of other people. That doesn't do anything. So the sort of theology that you hear coming, you know, from that message is, I think, antithetical to sound, you know, Christian theology. So I'm very suspect of any of the secrets that come out of that. But where I was going with that is, as you mentioned, the lawn of the Vatican. Well, it's kind of funny. So in 1950, right, literally 33 years later, Pope Pius XII, he was thinking about, he wanted to promulgate this new doctrine. It was an old legend, you know, that probably developed around the 2nd or the 3rd century A.D. that says that Mary ascended bodily into heaven, sort of like what we read about Jesus, you know, in the book of Acts or at the end of Luke's gospel. You know, Jesus ascends to heaven. Well, you know, the Catholics have this doctrine called the Assumption of Mary, which is basically that she bodily ascended into heaven as well. But that wasn't promulgated as an official church dogma until 1950. Now, the thing that's really interesting is that Pope Pius claimed that he saw the same sort of thing in the sky above the Vatican Gardens in 1950, and that's what inspired him to promulgate that doctrine. So quite literally, the Pope had a UFO sighting over Rome, and then that inspired him to promulgate a doctrine that all Catholics have to believe. So in a very real way, we have a UFO dictating theology that millions of people are supposed to swallow. I find that kind of astounding.
That is astounding. And, you know, these guys are... These guys are so gullible. I read my Bible, and so, you know, I'm not gullible to that. I believe that those things are demonic in nature and so on and so forth. And these guys are supposed to do super studies or whatever, but they believe this garbage. That's probably because they're not really rooted in faith in the first place.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, just this long tradition, really, you know, and some of it's superstition, maybe, but, yeah, I think that they've been deceived, and that was really a fundamental premise in our book, Petrus Romanus. I really covered a lot of church history, and I think I made a really strong case that you can see where the Roman church turned a corner. You know, Jesus always said, my kingdom is not of this world, and, you know, we don't fight the way the world fights, you know.
Right.
And, but you see, you know, right around between 600 and 700 AD, that far back, the Roman Catholic Church became a political power. You know, they even acquired land and, you know, became a country in 756 AD. So they literally became kings. And, you know, that's when you start seeing the violence and the inquisitions and the wars. You know, and these are not the sort of things that Jesus taught us to do. And he never wanted the church to be a power that was out imprisoning and torturing them. You can't coerce someone into faith. That just doesn't work. So right. I think when they turned that corner, they really did sell their souls in a very real way, in a theological way. But, I'm not saying that all Catholics are lost, but I think that the leadership kind of made a deal with the devil when they became a worldly force.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's not too much of a stretch. And for the record, something I wanted to say earlier, you know, that you say that, and I agreed with you about the Pope, you know, in all probability is not, I don't know if it's this Pope, but the Pope being the false prophet, but there are some other people out there that believe that. I know Stan of the Prophecy Club, Dimitri Dudeman, I don't know if you ever heard of him, that's basically was the belief that came from his prophecies also. And so, yeah, the Vatican is going to be a major player in these end times.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that we found out since Pope Francis was elected, you know, the thing that's really interesting about him is that he's the first Jesuit pope ever. Okay, so all these astronomers, this board group, they're all Jesuits. You know, the people running this observatory, they're all Jesuits. Well, Pope Francis started out, he got a master's degree in chemistry. He was a scientist before he became a Jesuit. Isn't that interesting? Well, guess what else? The leader of the Vatican Observatory Research Group, his name is Jose Funes, and he's from Argentina. And guess who brought him into the Jesuit order? Bergoglio. Francis is the one that brought him into the Jesuit order, which is, it's kind of chilling. Because, I mean, we didn't know who the new pope was going to be when we wrote Exo Vaticana. We were just going on this premise that we really thought, you know, all the statements the Vatican has been making about aliens. They had an astrobiology conference in Rome at the, you know, the Pontifical Academy of Sciences in the year 2009. Right. They literally invited the top secular scientists in the world. I mean, atheists, you know, not Catholics. These are people that, you know, are hardcore astrobiology type people and philosophers. They brought all these fellows to Rome to have a big conference on the discussion of alien life. Now, at that conference, this was in 2009, one of the top astrobiologists in the country made an announcement. And he said that they were expecting to make a big announcement within a few short years. His name is Dr. Chris Impey. Chris Empey at the University of Arizona. Now, he said a few short years, and that was in 2009. So that would put us, like, right now. Yeah, and yeah. I think what he was getting at, you know, like I said, they assume that these exoplanets could define you, that they're going to run across life. Now, I don't think so. You know, and I explain astrobiology really carefully in the book, and I try to break it down to where, you know, someone new to the subject can understand what we're talking about. But what I really made an effort to make a really strong case for is that the Earth is very unique. The Earth is uniquely situated in a number of ways to make it habitable, to make it, you know, to promote the existence of life and intelligent life. There's a lot of factors that have to come together. You know, what they're looking at is just water and the right temperature. And those are just, you know, two really small things. There's a lot of things that have to be in place. You have to have the right atmosphere. You know, you have to have, you know, actually the tectonic plates, the whole system of the way that our land masses move are very important for the production of the right minerals and things that support intelligent life. There's literally hundreds of factors that have to be within very narrow initial conditions for the Earth to support life. And so the sorts of statements these astrobiologists make about habitable zone and Goldilocks zone and life supporting, they're really misnomers because they don't really know that at all. So I think the existence of actual aliens is very minuscule. I don't want any of your listeners to be confused. We're not saying that these UFOs are aliens. We think that that is a cover story for evil supernatural entities who are going to pose as aliens and come and lead the world into a lie.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Once you accept that view, you see, a lot of people don't really realize what's happened to them. Once you've, you know, already bought into the thing that the UFOs really are aliens, that brings a whole bunch of other presuppositions that you might not be aware of that you're accepting. And what those are these presuppositions like Darwinism, like life just pops into being on other planets. You know, they have this thing they call the mediocrity principle. And this is actually, you know, something that's taught in the science classroom. And what that is that the Earth and human beings and life on Earth is just mediocre. There's nothing special about it. And they really believe that. And so they reason, you know, that since humans are just evolved monkeys, we're just evolved primates, there's really nothing special about our planet, there's nothing special about life, then there's no reason that all these other millions of planets that they speculate are out there, that life wouldn't just pop up there too. So, you know, because we're mediocre, we shouldn't assume that it hasn't happened thousands of other times, and then why wouldn't they come visit us? Well, here's where it gets more problematic. One of the top demonologists, this is Monsignor Corrado Balducci. Now, he was the top demonologist for the Diocese of Rome. So he's there in Italy. He's a friend of Pope John Paul II. They're very close. The title Monsignor is a high honor that you have to be given by the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, his official role was exorcist demonologist. He came out in the Italian media. Now, you can even go on YouTube and find videos of this with captions, because he was speaking in Italian. His name is Balducci, Monsignor Corrado Balducci. Now, he said way back in the late 90s that the existence of these beings is a certainty that we cannot doubt. Okay? He was like that sure. He wasn't tentative at all. Now, you know, the Roman Catholic Church has never corrected him on that. They've never, you know, said that he was a loose cannon. You know, he's a very high-ranking official. He was going to UFO conventions and speaking. Now, you know, he maintained that there was no chance that these entities were demons. He literally, I'll quote, here's a quote I have right in front of me. We don't even have to waste a thought on the devil and his demons. Who still kept their angelic nature, being fallen angels, and therefore are purely spiritual beings, since they are limited in their activity by God and therefore not able to bring their hatred on us. I don't know whose Bible he's reading, but mine says that the devil going about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. It sounds like they're under the deception. So I guess I've just got to ask. We've got about 7 minutes left. So do you think they believe? Do you think they're going to believe an Antichrist that comes from a flying saucer, basically?
You know, it's hard for me to tell you exactly how that scenario would work, but something like that, you know, I think that there's going to be some sort of claim. You know, it could be that big, huge, you know, crafts fly over major cities like Independence Day. I mean, there's
right.
actually been cases like that that have happened. You know, a lot of people don't really believe that, but it's absolutely true. You know, I would tell you to look up Fife Symington. He was the governor of Arizona, okay? And there was a thing called the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah, I know.
Massive,
I know the Phoenix Lights. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, mass UFO sighting. I mean, thousands of people saw it. But the governor of Arizona, he was an Air Force officer. He's given his testimony. He witnessed it, too. And he said it was definitely like nothing he'd ever seen. He did not think it was of this world. The people described this as a mile-wide, triangle-shaped craft. I mean, that's huge. And you have a trained Air Force officer who's the governor of the state who saw it. I mean, so stuff like that has happened. So, I mean, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. But it could also be a lot more subtle. You know, it could be a lot more subtle, Pastor. You know, what about, you know, there's this claim that life started on Earth, what they call panspermia. Literally, panspermia. What that means is that life was seeded on Earth from outer space. Now, there's two versions. One version is like a meteorite with some microbes in the middle of it, hit the Earth, and then the microbes evolved into everything. So that's called undirected panspermia.
Right.
But the problem with that is that it's literally impossible. The meteorites get so hot when they re-enter the atmosphere,
they
have a real hard time modeling how anything could live through the heat, re-entry.
And you're still relying on a lot of evolution from, you know, whatever
oh,
could
right,
be
absolutely.
In that.
Yeah, they just assume evolution. Which I would dispute that as well. But so what this lets you know is what they call directed panspermia. Now, that recent movie Prometheus kind of describes this idea. Yeah, this is where aliens literally seed life on the Earth. And it's actually got a lot of respectability in scientific circles. So it could be something as subtle as some kind of evidence that, you know, conclusively shows that, you know, we were created by aliens or that, you know, life came here from space. So it might be a lot more subtle than, you know, like an alien antichrist or something really in your face like that. It could be something just really undermines, you know, the doctrine of creation in the Bible in such a fundamental way that, you know, just turns people away from that and do start to believe in these alien things. So it could be more subtle, you know, it work on the worldview level.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, I've seen several people I know, just a minute, several people I know believe that the Antichrist is going to be part human being and part fallen angel or alien. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's possible. The book of Revelation definitely says that he's empowered by the red dragon, right?
Right.
You know, either demon-possessed or maybe he's some sort of hybrid. But, I mean, the scripture is pretty clear that, you know, he is a pawn or controlled or perhaps even, you know, genetically so. I don't think that's too much of a stretch given what we read in scripture. And, it says that, you know, he's going to be able to do miracles. It says that he's going to claim to be God. And apparently a large part of the world's going to believe him. Now, here's another statistic I'll throw out that's, to me, it was just astonishing. You know, we talk about the strong delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2. Well, right now, because I saw this in the Huffington Post about a few months back. It was in 2012, like, right around December 2012. We did a survey in the UK. So, you know, Great Britain, Ireland, the whole United Kingdom. More people believe in extraterrestrials than God, literally.
That's
what the data said. They did a big sampling, and it was like 54% of the population believed in extraterrestrials, and only like maybe 46% or 45% believed in God. So literally more people believe in ET in the UK than God. So the strong delusion is here now.
We're going to have to draw this up to a close. We got about a minute and a half. Final thought on that, and then tell us where to get the book. But, oh, by the way, did you see that survey that came out a couple of days. I think World Net Daily did it and said one in every four Americans believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. Shows you what they know. Anyway, people are so gullible. Don't they ever read anymore? I mean, I guess, I don't know. Anyway, tell us your
information. He might be one in the making, but he's not quite there yet.
I agree. He's not the Antichrist. I don't, you know, folks, I did not say he is the Antichrist. I just heard it on Pastor Dan's show. No. Anyway. Yeah, great. Thanks for ruining my reputation. Anyway.
The Secret Service is coming to pay you a visit now, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, probably. With a surprise. Oh, there's a black car now. Okay. Anyway, wrap this up. Give us your where we can find the book. Tell them the name of the book, and we'll have you back on again. But give us all that information.
Certainly. The book is called Exo-Vaticana, and it's go to www.exovaticana.com or RaidersNewsUpdate.com. It's available at Barnes & Noble's Books A Million, Amazon.com. If you get the book through exovaticana.com or Raiders News Update, Survival Mall, Tom Horn's site, he's the publisher. We actually provide a huge DVD library full of PDF books and a lot of documentation and videos that kind of a lot of our source material for our research. So you get a huge library if you order it through the publisher's site as a bonus. So, and my website is logosapologia.org, logosapologia.org. And it's been my pleasure to be on with you, and I'll look forward to talking to you again soon. And I wish you the best in your ministry.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm going to read the book, and I'll probably give you a call after I read the book because I'm going to have some questions. All right, be blessed. Thanks for being on. All right, folks. I would definitely get both books. I really would. This last, and I would also go to Tom Horn's site and get it, because at Tom Horn's site, I've been over there looking at it, you get a whole library of things that they back up this book on or that they got the information from, and I think they're only asking like $20 for this special deal, and so that's a real deal. I'd pay $20 just for the materials, and I'm not trying to sell things for them, but, you know, this is interesting. We are in those times. We are in the time of the end. What scenario is going to finally play out? I don't know. I think the guy's going to be half, I think he's going to be demonic, but I think he is going to be half alien, so to speak, possessed. But I do believe that he is going to be Muslim in nature. I see everything points to that. But we'll see. I don't know everything by a long shot. That's why we have guests on that have different points of view. And it's up to you to pray about them and see who's right and who's wrong. We must remember that there is only one God. He is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua, HaMashiach, who gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. And it must be the Messiah that stayed 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Anything else would be an imposter. Remember, always, always be a blessing to others. Please be a blessing to others. If you have the Holy Spirit within you, how can you not be? And I ask that you pray for the Wichita Mission Church. We could really use your help this week. It's a new month with new bills, and we really need your help. So pray about it. Make sure you tune in to Mission Watch on American Voice Radio this week, 8 p.m. Central, because I talked with Michael Maloth, and there's some really things heating up with North Korea, and they do have a space vehicle up their satellite that the government is worried that may have an atomic weapon in it, and they could do an EMP attack. So listen in Sunday. Anyway, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until the first day of the week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.